Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're talking about money in this session. This is the number one, if you look at most of them, besides communication, they'll alternate back and forth. It's the number one and number two problems in marriage. You ask couples why you got divorced, what led to your divorce, these are usually the top two. We don't know how to talk to one another. We don't want to talk at all. We just yell, holler, scream, and cuss. Or we got money problems because we see money in two different ways, because people are different. I mean, I grew up in a family that was different. My mom and dad came from both mining communities, not much income, and so things were kind of tight. But then as we began to get more prosperous, you know, they'd have arguments sometimes about who was supposed to spend what and when. And I don't need your permission to spend money. I have a job. Well, I have a job. I don't need your permission. And so marital conflict over money gets really tough. So what we're going to learn is kind of how you lay the foundation and to realize that things have changed. You know, money for years really wasn't as big an issue as it is right now. Everything has changed in the last 100 years. If you go all the way back to the beginning when we used to do statistics, in 1906, the average wage in America was 22 cents an hour. 22 cents an hour. That's just incredible. When I was born in 1951, the average annual wage was right at $2,900 a year, just under $3,000. When I graduated high school in 1969, the average wage per year was just right around $8,000. Today, average wage is about $40,000 a year, and that still isn't much, because if you got four people in your family, or if you like me had six people, if I had six kids, the poverty level is right around $34,000. So it's not that much higher than the poverty level. So things just change. You say, well, what happened? Well, the devil's a thief. Now, God promised in his word that he'd bless us, that all of our needs would be supplied. You know, you heard those stories in church, and then you hear about people talking about accusing people being prosperity people. I don't need to be rich. I just need some money. I got things to do. I got kids that God gave them that had crooked teeth, and they had to go to summer school because they couldn't pass algebra, and that took 6 years to get a four-year degree. You know, there's some stuff that just happens. You know, the transmission leaked, and the refrigerator door wouldn't stay shut, and the dryer door wouldn't stay shut unless you put duct tape on it, and pretty soon the duct tape built up, and that didn't work good, you know, and we needed a more expensive dryer. And, you know, I remember when I was in high school, the gasoline jumped all the way up to right at 23 cents a gallon. I remember it went from a week from 22 to 25 in 1 week. My dad was so mad, he would not drive to DuPont. He would walk. I'm not driving. That's too stinking expensive. If I had known, what we should have done is bought some giant tanks and buried that 25 cent a gallon gasoline and saved it for now, because who knew that it was going to do this? So what we're going to learn kind of in these sessions about money is that it's just some natural things you need to do. Money is a law. It works like gravity. It doesn't care who you are, doesn't care if you know Jesus, if you're saved, spirit-filled, it doesn't care anything about you. It's a law that works all by itself. You've got to know the law that governs money, or you're not going to have any. Because the devil comes to this planet, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the Department of Health and Welfare did a study years ago. It's kind of a fascinating study, and they tracked every American. Now, you know the government, they measure everything. There's nothing that they don't measure. And so they were tracking people just financially to see what happened. And they realized every human they track from up to 65 years of age, for every 100 people by age 65, here's the numbers they come up with. For every 100 people by age 65, 36 have died. 36 out of every 100 Americans will not make it to retirement age. They don't have to worry about retirement. They won't be here, evidently. 54 out of every 100 Americans will make it to retirement, but they'll be living totally off the Social Security check or with a family member. They will not be able to afford to retire. 5 of out of 100 Americans, age 65, will be working because they have to. That's why grandma's at McDonald's 11 o'clock at night with a Garth Brooks headphone on. It's not because she likes Big Macs. It's because she needs a job. 4 out of every 100 Americans will be well off, and only 1 out of every 100 Americans will be wealthy. That means, according to the federal government, only 5% of the people in the richest nation on the face of the planet will be able to afford to retire. And think, well, why is that? Well, there's another number that kind of correlates with that. And that number is this. 97% of all Americans have no working budget, according to the government. According to the last census, 97% of all workers have no budget. They don't know how much they owe, how much they own, how much they earn, and where it goes. Now, what you have to understand about God, God is a God of stewardship. God is a God of stewardship. What I take care of, I get more of. What I don't take care of, I lose. And so I realized something. The greatest miracle you will ever do for yourself financially is get a budget. You need some numbers. It'll scare you. Now, you get a budget, it'll make you cry. You'll stay up all night. My God, we're broke. I didn't know how bad we were broke till I got a budget. Oh, my God, we're broke. We're bad broke. Well, it's a great thing to be because you need to know where the bottom of the barrel is. I said, this is not a bad thing. We now know where the bottom of the barrel is. It's way down there, but we know where it's at. We're broke as dirt. We need some cash. Because the Bible says, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. Faith is believing what God says. Now, God said, I'll supply all your needs. Well, I sure have a lot. You've got a big job to do. And I realized something, that you don't pray, you don't get anything. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus repeated constantly, I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. It's a legal situation. Satan is still the little g god of this planet, but God answers prayer if we'll ask him. It's legal. We need to pray. Well, I can't pray if I don't know what I need to pray for. I'm just mad. All I know is I need more money. But you get a budget, you know right to the penny how much money you need. Lord, I need this. You promise you do above and beyond. So you got to start with a budget thing. Now I want to give you just these right here. This is three great scriptures that kind of help you. 3 John 2 is a great one. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. How you and I believe are critical to our financial well-being. It's critical. You've got to know something in here. The federal government tracks people that win the lottery, and they say most people that win the lottery, it's in the 80 percentile, of all people who win the lottery lose it within 3 years. Because they found out if you have a $30,000 soul and you win $300 million in 3 years, you'll go back to $30,000. A human will not allow themselves to make more money than they think they're worth. That's not right. I grew up in a poor family. We hated rich people. Stinking rich people. You know, they're the reason we're poor, because they got all the money. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but if you added up all the millionaires in America, there's not that many. It's just over 8 million multimillionaires. 8 million out of 300 million. That's less than 1/3 of 1%. They don't have all the money. That's just a lie that politicians tell you. Now, God said, I'll supply your need. I don't care what everybody else has got. So I need to work on my soul first. I need to believe that God wants me blessed. It's not based on my IQ, my GPA, or my degree or no degree. It's based on what God promised he would do for me. There are many multimillionaires in this country that dropped out of elementary school, dropped out of junior high, dropped out of high school, dropped out of college. Now, I believe in education. I'm an educator. But an education will not get you a job, and it won't get you blessed. It's what you believe in here that'll get you blessed. So as a family, you got to realize we got to get to this point. The next one is this, and I like this one. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any man doesn't provide for their family, they're worse than an infidel. There is somebody who's denied the faith. Number one, I got to work on what I believe. Number two, I'm responsible for my wife and my 6 kids. You know, and whoever they're marrying, I'm supposed to be a blessing to them. Like, whoa, nobody told me that when we were having babies. Then Proverbs 13:22 says, good people leave an inheritance to their children and their grandchildren. Not only am I supposed to take care of those that are here, when I leave, I'm supposed to leave some cash behind for those yet to come. Well, who told me that when we were saying I do? We didn't say that at the wedding ceremony. But if God said it, it must be possible. So what we're going to learn is how to make that happen. God promised we'd be blessed, and we're going to do it. You know, there's a term you hear all the time called worldly wealth. I don't know if you know it, but God made this planet and all the wealth that's in it. The cattle on 1,000 hills. You got to read that in the Bible. God owns this wealth. I don't care how rich you are. You go to heaven, you're leaving everything behind. It stays right here. And one day this planet passes away. We're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. Wealth is something we use to do what God's asking us to do. Reach the lost, help the orphans, help the widows, help those that are hungry, help the unemployed. Whatever we're supposed to use our money to help people. Well, you can't help somebody if you're broke. You know, it's not good to be broke. Well, you know, money, man, that's the root of all evil. Well, yeah, I know what that says, but I still need money. I have a plaque on my wall that says God and money, one I serve and the other serves me. I need money. God said I did. And we're going to find that out in a little bit. Now, I want to read the scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures, Ecclesiastes 5:19-20 says this. As every man to whom God has given wealth and possessions. Everybody say wealth and possessions. Come on, wealth and possessions. That's a good thing. God gives wealth and possessions and has given man the power to use it and to receive the heritage and to rejoice in his labor. This is a gift from God. It says a gift from God is to have wealth and riches. What's a gift from God? Wealth and riches. Well, no, that'll mess you up. No, I need wealth and riches. I'm not taking it with me. I'm just using it. It's a gift from God. For the man that God gives this gift, said that man will not dwell on the past days of his life, for God will keep him occupied with gladness of heart. It is God's will that I am not worried about. Man, I remember the good old days. Remember back in the good old days? There are no good old days. Who talked about that? I mean, can you imagine if you were there in the Garden of Eden with God, and God said, Joe, when would you like to be born? You want to be born here with Adam and Eve? No, God, that's going to go bad. They're going to get fired from their job, and evicted out of their house, and kids start, you know, I don't want to be. How about Noah? You like boats? You know, that's going to be a bad deal. 1 year on that boat, no rudder, and all those animals, no, bad time, bad time. You'd be born when Jesus comes? No, that's a really bad time. They're going to nail him to crosses either side of Jerusalem. No, thank you. I don't want to be there then. Well, when would you like to be born? I want to be there in the last days when your spirit's poured out without measure. I'm glad I'm alive right now. People that gripe about being alive now, this is the greatest time of history to be alive. So I realize something. There's just give you a couple stories here that are real good because you got to realize what God thinks about money. God thinks different about money than we do. The world's kind of messed us up on some stuff. So I like this. This is out of Luke chapter 16. It goes through verses 1 through 16. Jesus is telling the story. It's about the unjust steward. This guy hires this guy to do his stuff, and he realizes he's messing with him. And he doesn't like what he's doing, so he fires him. Well, the guy gets fired. He goes back to his desk. He said, go clean your desk out. You're fired. He goes back to his desk. Man, what am I going to do? Man, I can't beg. I'm too prideful to beg. I can't dig ditches. I'm too weak to do that. What am I going to do? And he says, I got an idea. I know what I do. So all of a sudden, he starts calling in all the creditors that owe his boss his money. So he brings his guy and says, man, how much wheat? How much wheat you owe my boss? 800 bushels. Hey, Tigger, we'll cut you a deal. 400 bushels. Pay me back right now. You can do it 400 bushels. All right, 400 bushels. It's paid. There you go. Boom, you're paid. And what he was trying to do is to buy friends with his money. He gave him a deal hoping, if I'm nice to you, remember me tomorrow when I get out of this job, maybe you'll hire me. Another guy, how much oil do you owe? And he said, I gave him a 20% discount. And he starts giving people discounts, and his boss walks down the hallway while this guy's basically cutting deals. Said, what are you doing? And he knew what he's doing. He's cutting deals with his money. Not only did it cost him money when he worked, he's costing more money on the way out the door. But the boss said, man, you are one wise, shrewd servant. He said, I'll give you that. You're a smart man. And he talked about the power of wealth. And let me see if you tell what Jesus said. He said, use your worldly resources to benefit others. This is Jesus. I'm quoting Jesus. Use your worldly resources to benefit others. He said this, and make friends with your money. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. You know, if you're good to people down here, somebody writes it down in heaven. You're sending stuff on ahead. God wants us to be wise stewards of the money that we've got. He said, if you are untrustworthy, Jesus said, about wealth, worldly wealth. If you can't handle worldly wealth, you think I'm going to put you in charge of some spiritual stuff? You can't even handle carnal money. So I've always told people the spiritual plumb bob of how spiritual I am is how I handle my money. Now that's a sad thing sometimes. Whoa, that's not looking too good. No, I'm going to trust you with spiritual stuff on how, because where your heart is, your treasure is. Where your treasure is, your heart is. I tell people, I've told guys that want to date my girl something. So I want to see you. I want to see your bank account. Because if I see your bank account, I know where your heart is. Because your heart's where your money goes. You want to get know somebody? Look at their checkbook. That'll tell you where they're at. My heart and my money are tied together. You see where somebody puts their money? You'll know where their heart is. God said that. I didn't say that. And so all of a sudden, this guy's bragging. Even Jesus said, man, if you can't handle this worldly wealth, this guy was learning. You got to give him credit. He was cutting deals, but he was taking care of himself. He knew what he was doing. Then 2 Kings 4:1 is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. It's about a widow who comes to Elisha, the prophet of God. She comes to him. She says, my husband, who worked for you in the ministry, who served God, feared God, and loved God, has died. And the prophet Elisha, of a truth, your husband did work for me, and he is dead. And he was a good servant. And he talks about him. He was faithful, hardworking. But he's died, and we are so far in debt. My husband was just messed up when it came to money. He loved God, feared God, served God, but he was stupid when it came to money. And so now we are so far in debt, the creditors are coming to take away my sons as bond slaves to work for the creditor for the rest of their life. So not only have my boys lost their father, they're going to lose their freedom because my husband was stupid when it came to money. Now, I try to imagine this guy going into paradise. This is before Jesus came and went into paradise. So you're going down with Father Abraham and all the good guys. And I can imagine this guy. He dies. The angels are carrying him into paradise. And there's, you know, paradise on one side, hell on the other. You could wave at each other. There's old guys. There's worms and maggots. They're sweating. Hey, how y'all doing? Over here is iced tea and lazy boy recliners and it's air conditioned. And they can see each other. I'm not making that up. It's in they can see each other. Hey. Well, this guy's coming to the good side. And I try to imagine the angels talking to him as he's coming through that tunnel they talk about. Well, welcome to paradise. Oh, man, I guess I'm here. Yep. But before you come in, would you mind turning around looking back down the hallway and telling me what you see? Now, I imagine this guy looks back down the hallway, and there's his wife at the tomb where they buried him and his two boys, and they're crying. So what do you see? My wife, my boys, they're crying because I'm dead. No, they're crying because they're broke as dirt. Because you were stupid when it came to money. Come on in, sit down, have an iced tea. I tell people, bottom line is your job and my job is to make sure we take care of our family financially. God's watching us. He said, I will enable you to do that. We got to learn how to do it. We're going to learn that here in just a minute. Okay, and I've done this with my kids before. I'm going to give you two things, warnings and commandments about money. Because everybody's got a different opinion, but you got to wash your mind with the Word of God. It talks about, what do you do? Wash with the Word. This is what the Word of God says. So this is what I call my rabbit trail run. This is kind of quick. So hang with me here. The first, I'm going to give you the warnings. Now, most of us know this, but this is all biblical. Number one, don't love money, love God. Well, that's 1 Timothy 6:10. We've already heard about that. I got to love God, not money. If I love money, God said bad stuff's coming. Number two, don't be a slave to money. Matthew 8:24. Nobody can serve two masters. I don't want to serve money. I need money to serve me. I need it to work for me real good. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.